Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for your love and mercy upon us. Pray, dear Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will inspire me as I hear this presentation to help all of us understand the need that we have before you. Lord, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to please stand with me in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, and I'd like to share a few thoughts about the God's commission, God's calling upon Jonah, and how we can apply that today to ourselves and the charge and responsibility that God has given to us. And so please turn with me in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And I'm just going to read maybe one or two verses and trust the Holy Spirit to reveal to us some biblical, practical lessons that we could draw from. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going down to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, let me just pause here and see what, you know, practical lessons we can learn from. Jonah was a prophet, one of the prophets of God, and he was charged with a responsibility, and that responsibility was to proclaim God's word to a dying city, a dying world. And it seems to me that Jonah was kind of relaxed at this particular time when God had to call his attention. You know, Pastor Allison was sharing about the church waking up. And this particular time, it seems to me that Jonah was kind of a bit relaxed and complacent about his call. And so God had to just remind him again, because God had to remind him that there was an urgent need. And there were a group of people that were in sharp contradiction to his plan and will for their lives, and he wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh and help them understand that he loves them, but he was going to judge them if they persist in their sins. And so in verse 1 we see that God had to call Jonah. But something strange here is that Jonah decided, instead of obeying God, he decided to go to take another route. You know, it's not, I mean, let's bring that home to ourselves. Sometimes God has chosen us and he has given us abilities and talents. And he wants us to be practical. He wants us to be focused. And he wants us to do what is his will for our lives. And to use the talents and abilities we have to impact the world around about us. Jonah here, instead of obeying God, he decided to go, you know, take another route, go to Tarshish. And then the Bible said he went after God told him to go to this great city and preach to the people. Jonah rose up, he got up, and then he fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And one thing that Jonah did not understand is that God transcends time and space. He's everywhere. You cannot flee from him. You know, and sometimes as Christians, we think we can play some games that God will not be able to understand or see. And we try to flee from the presence of the Lord, knowing that God will not see us. But God does see everything that we do. There's nothing hidden before God. He's sovereign. And he holds preeminence in the affairs of men. He's the creator of everything. That nothing is hidden. every step that we make, our motives, our intentions, God understands and God knows that. He can honor us any way He wants to because He's a sovereign God. And so when God calls us and gives us a responsibility, we must conform to that calling. Otherwise, God may discipline us in a way that is painstaking, in a way that we may not understand. So Jonah, the Bible says Jonah rose up and fled. He's not going to touch her from the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says he went down. Now, the emphasis that I want to impress upon our minds is the fact that every time we think that we are running away from the things that God wants us to do, in essence, we are going further and further away from God. You know, we leave the presence of God and we leave the glory of God and we leave the direction and then it becomes, you know, it's like we are going away from God. Every time God speaks to our hearts through His Spirit and wants us to do something that will make a difference in his ministry, and we're not submitting ourselves, we're not making ourselves available. You know, what it means is that we're going away from. And we notice in this passage, they say he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down. You know, there are two down. You know, he went down into it. And then the Bible says, he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. I mean, we cannot run away from God, isn't it? Never. We can. I mean, the best we can do when we come to the full knowledge of the full knowledge of God's word, and we are convicted on our sins, and we come to Him. We need to surrender to Him. We become Paul puts it this way. He said we are bond servants. We are slaves. And it means that we make ourselves so available to God that God is able to use us anytime He wants to use us, so that He, God, will take the glory and honor. We become His servants. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing to be called a servant of the Lord. Jonah was the servant of the Lord. But we see that Jonah is being rebellious in this instance. And then see what it says in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Now, there are times that we have our own little lives, and sometimes we could run about ourselves a little estate, what's happening here in verse 4 is because God was not pleased with Jonah's decision to flee from His presence. The Bible says God had to, He has control over nature. The Bible says He sent a mighty wind. And what that means is that if God wants us to do something, and we know exactly what we need to do, I mean, it's plain, it's clear in our hearts, we are convinced and convicted of it, but we do not want to follow the principles of the Bible. We do not want to follow the way God wants us to do it. And then we do it our own way, we develop our own style, and we develop our own format and our own arrangement, you know, that is in sharp contradiction to God's will. You know what God is going to do? God is going to bring us back to His will. Because we have to understand that we are children, we are His children. And as a child, God must discipline us, God must kind of correct us for our own benefit. Not anything that will kind of pull us away from Him and maybe cast us into hell, but God is going to do that to help us understand that He is sovereign, that He is Lord over every situation, and that He is going to teach us and He is going to bring us back. He stirred up the billows of the sea in a way that the ship was about to be broken, the Bible says. But then in verse 5 we see that they said the mariners were afraid, and there was this confusion among the mariners, and then the Bible says that they They decided to cast out the wire, the wires, you know, the, on the ship, the materials on the ship, to lighten the boat. Isn't that sometimes particle of us? You know, God gives us a specific instruction, things He wants us to do. But we try, you know, like I said, you know, we try to do another way. Instead of Jonah, you know, going back to God and submitting his will to God, he decided to run away. And because of Jonah's sin, if you will, you know, others were affected. And sometimes, you know, we Christians, if we're supposed to be an example, like the Bible says, let your light so shine that we may see and glorify your Father in heaven. If we're doing things that are not right, we affect even the heathens round about us. They look at us and say, what is he doing? He's supposed to be a Christian. He calls himself a Christian. You know, our lives, the negative things in our lives that we do can affect the people around about us. And they don't trust in God. They don't trust in the ability of God to handle their depraved conditions and their situations. And sometimes it makes it even harder. And so we knew then, because these people, they tried to find a solution. The solution was not to take the hard wires and throw it in the sea. That was not a solution. In fact, after they took the wires and put it in the sea, the more the billows of the sea rose against them. And because God had to fulfill his will. God had to fulfill. So they turned to Jonah, and said, but what's happening? Let's throw lots. Let's throw lots. You know, I'm gonna say something that will be surprised. I mean, you know, that will really surprise you. And I've you know, shared a message before to my congregation and other people. Here, the scripture says that the heathens threw lots. Have you ever thought about that the throwing of lots is biblical and is God's way of selecting sometimes leaders, even national leaders, etc., etc.? And if you go in the book of Acts, when Matthias replaced, you know, Judas, etc., etc., you know, last return. And I think it's one of the precise ways that God will designate people. And when it threw out in the book of Acts, the Bible says the disciples have to pray. And you have to ask God, the God of heaven, and say, show us the one you want. You know, God is the one who makes the appointments. And one of the problems we have in our world today is the fact that leaders are chosen that are not chosen by God. National leaders all over the world. Some of the troubles we have all around the world is because, you know, people are chosen that are not supposed to be there. They're chosen the world's way. We call democracy. You know, the voice of the people, you know, they make the decision. God is not in our decision. Sometimes God is not in our decision. And we make the decision and then God will say, okay, you decide to have X and X and X as a leader. So you contend with the national issues. So there's something, and I want to think, and don't be surprised when I use this statement. I think democracy isn't a thing that God, you know, because we do not find it in Scripture. What we find in Scripture is throwing of lots in the selection of leaders. It may sound so strange, but let me give you a practical example. If you wanted to select a national leader, for instance, and you decide to go the way of throwing lots, which is biblical, which I think is biblical, as we can see here in the book of Acts and other places in the Bible, you will come to realize there will be no struggle, there will be no fighting, no one single will die, there will be no spending of money. I mean, let me give, you know, we are in America, let me give an example of America. If you designated maybe four or five persons who are vying for presidency, and they decide to go God's way in the manner of using lots, you know, they're going to assemble in the biggest stadium. I don't know which is the biggest stadium in America. The stakeholders will come together. The religious leaders will come together. Everybody will come together. And they'll be doing like the football game. And they'll go to the stadium. But before doing that, they will have to pray and ask God, maybe 1 week of fast and prayer, and ask God to designate the one to become the president of the United States of America. And then a child will go in the midst of that crowd. and the press will be all around him. That child will walk up and pick a name after they pray and ask God to pick. They pick a name, and the press will come around and say, John Brown, X and X has become, you know, he's been selected by God. And when that happens, it settles the dust. It settles every matter. You know, it put to close every strife and confusion. Now what we're seeing around the world today, all around Africa, Europe, etc., when you find strife and rebellion, and you know, there's this election that has taken place, and the opposition will say the election was rigged, and there will be a fight, and thousands of people will die because there's a strife. I mean, it is because it's not God's will. Because we don't find it in the Bible. In my own country, you know, we have an election. We almost went into a fight. And in 2011, we have an election, and when you hear the talks run about, you think we're going to go into another war in my own country. Why? Because those people who want to make this election are not sound in making decisions. Sometimes they're not saying, these are no boys that are running around. They don't have any, you know, I mean, there's no sound. They do not have the capability to decide who they want to have as a leader. And besides, it's not God's will. And that's why I said, you know, in Iran, when they have the election, you know the history. All over Africa, in Guinea, in Kenya, when they have an election. And you know, every time they have an election, bloodshed. Why? You think if God will is in it, and it's God's principle of selecting leaders, it's not going to be like that. When you do it, anything that you do God's will be perfect, because the devil cannot go beyond the boundary. And so what I'm trying to say practically is the fact that the Bible says even the heathens knew that it was necessary to throw lots. And I know a lot of people will take exception to this. People have taken exception to it when sometimes I share in my church and with other leaders, you know, they take exception. They think that, you know, the voice of the people must stand. But God's voice must stand. It's not the people's voice. It's God who is in charge. He's in control. This world is going to pass away. And a new earth and a new heaven will emerge. And God will be there. And he is going to be the one who is in control. And if we can learn some of these principles and you know, take to them and follow godly principles, I mean, how wonderful it's going to be that we're not, you know, all these strife and things, you know, God wants to be our leader. He wants to be the one to pick, you know, to pick the leadership. And in closing, we see the mariners after the demonstration. You know, can you imagine they went and they saw Jonah sleeping in a ship. And he said, "Oh man, old sleeper, what are you doing around here?" You know, sometimes we're not actively involved in the things that God really has called us to do. Even the heathens would turn around and say, "You're supposed to be the man of God. What are you doing? You're supposed to be working actively. You are a prophet of God and you are sleeping. Get up!" And it's a shame that the word turns to us and gives us, you know, and shows us what we need to do. We need to tell the world what it needs to do. The Bible says we should have influence upon the world and not the world having influence upon the church. And the heathens are telling the prophet of God, "You get up, old sleeper, what are you doing here?" Sometimes we are like Jonah. You know, we sleep a lot. We're kind of too busy here and too busy there. And not to, you know, kind of focus to the things that God wants us to do. And sometimes it's a shame. I'm guilty of that too. You know, sometimes I'm not focused and I get engaged into things that are unnecessary. Sometimes I do. And, but you know, from here we learn that God, I mean, Jonah, the heathens have to tell Jonah to wake up and et cetera. And, but if you have learned anything, you know, from this short challenge, you know, is the fact that And I really want to leave this with you, and I'm, you know, I'm so convinced about that, that one of the reasons we have what is going on in the world today is because man wants to be in charge. Man wants to be in control. He has not given, God has not given man the sole right to decide anything that has to do with where God's supposed to be sitting on the throne. God's supposed to give, make selections, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so I want to leave that charge with you. I want you to think about it, study it, and then I want you to know why. You know, sometimes we ask the question, why? I mean, God is this, and God is, why all these troubles? Why? You know, natural phenomena, you know, natural things that are happening around us in the world, rumors of war, you know, strife, rebellion, demonstrations, etc., etc. Why are these things happening? These things are simply happening because we want to be in control, and we don't have the capacity and the ability to be in control. Only God can steer the ship of the affairs of this world for us to have the inner peace that we ought to have. God bless you.
Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our Father in heaven, truly we live in a world where man is in rebellion against thee. We see it in high office. We see it on the streets of the land. Lord, would that thou wouldst cause the people's heart to submit unto thee. We're thankful for every move of thy Spirit that has brought people to their knees, seeking thy face and seeking to do thy will. When we think of our land, across this land, and how many there are that are ruling and reigning in some aspect of government, and they fight against thee, they war with thee. Lord, we would ask that you would replace them with those who fear thee, men and women that will do thy will, that will do thy bidding. Lord, we confess there is much confusion in our land. There is much heartache. There is much turmoil in our society, in our homes, all through the land, because we are fighting and warring with thee. Lord, we ask that you would have mercy upon our land and cause that there would be a turning back unto thee. Lord, we pray that thou would take place in this part of your vineyard, in Pennsylvania. Lord, that there would be a turning back unto thee. Lord, we know that oftentimes the very voice that is being raised is the voice in the church, and that voice is a voice that's in rebellion against thee. Lord, we would ask that the truth of the gospel would come with might and power, that the reigning Christ, who now sits at thy right hand, would indeed, by the power of his own scepter, move in the lands of this world. Lord, we ask for Liberia, that you would bring peace to that land, but not a false peace, a peace that's based upon the gospel of Christ, where men and women are submitting to Christ. Lord, we pray that for our land. We pray that throughout the world. We're thankful, Lord, that Christ himself will make that happen when he comes. But Lord, we pray now, in the world in which we live, you have commanded us to pray for those that are in authority, that we might lead a godly and tranquil life. Lord, we do pray then this day for those in authority, that, Lord, you would turn their hearts unto thee. Lord, we've been meditating tonight upon Jonah. We have seen how that Jonah warred with thee, and it not only affected him, but it affected the men and women round about him. It affected his testimony. Lord, we pray that you would give us grace to walk closely with thee, that when the world sees us, they would see one that is godlike. They would see one who is doing thy will with joy. They would see one who is being transformed by the great gospel of grace and of mercy. Lord, we pray that you would make us indeed an epistle to be read by those of our generation. Lord, we're thankful for our brother Wesley. We're thankful for the souls that have been saved under his ministry. We're thankful, Lord, for the church that has been established and for the witness that is going out. We ask, O God, that you would continue to perfect your servant, continue to show him your will, continue to teach him from thy word. And we ask, O Lord, that as he would preach and teach, that the Spirit of God would take the word of God and use it mightily. Lord, we ask that you would expand his borders, that you would bless him even in the part of the vineyard where you have sent him. Lord, remember us here in Malvern. Remember our other brethren there in Liberia. We pray for Saki Muba, Muba Koa. We ask, O God, that you would be near Henry Munger and Andrew Joe. Lord, we're thankful for these men, that they have stepped out by faith to proclaim the gospel. They have done what you called Jonah to do, to go to the city of thy choosing, and they're proclaiming Christ there. We ask, O Lord, that you would protect them from all evil. We ask that you would give them a vision for the work and give them power in the preaching of the gospel. Lord, we ask these things, that your name may be glorified, that sinners might be saved, that the church of Christ might be further established. Lord, we're asking these things because we believe that they are your will, and that, Lord, this very night, that you rule and reign over the affairs of men. Lord, we're thankful that we are part of that everlasting kingdom. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to keep the laws of the King and to bring glory and praise and honor to his great name. Lord, as we go to our homes tonight, dismiss us with thy blessing. As we labor for thee in this kingdom, we ask, O Lord, that we might know your love, that we might draw nigh to thee, that we might be awakened to do that which pleaseth thee. Lord, give us strength and grace. Keep us from being like Jonah, asleep when you have made known your will to us. Lord, we pray that we might be busy doing thy will with joy, and that we might see the help and power of thy Spirit moving in us and through us in this wicked and evil and adulterous generation. Help us, Lord. Be with us as we go to our homes. We would also pray, Lord, this night for any here without Christ. Oh, Lord, we would ask that they would come and be at peace with thee, that they would lay down their arms and quit warring with thee, that they would know the gospel of free and sovereign grace, that they would know what it is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb and to be robed in his righteousness. Lord, thou art able to do this, and we ask that for their eternal welfare and for thy glory, that even this very night you would save. Lord, we come to thee, praising thee for thy mercy and for thy goodness. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.